This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I am Adam Gold. V to the Victoria. Victoria is here. That was like cartoon music.
I know it was.
I felt all Looney Tunes-ish, right? about all of that. Yeah, it got real. By the way, there's not news about Matt Rhule. I mean, he hadn't been fired, and he's probably not going to be fired anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to he won't be the coach when we start next season, I'm sure. But there's, more rumors of Matt going elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about all of that today. We got a lot of things. Sort of breaking news. Before I get to breaking news, which happened about an hour ago. You ever go to Costco?
I have.
What is it about Costco's parking lot that makes people stupid? Well, I'm curious. This is an investigative piece for local news, for Dateline.
Yeah.
Right? What is it about Costco's parking lot that makes people flat stupid?
It's kind of like Black Friday. It's the same thing. People go crazy.
Okay, they do. They're a little excited. So I'm driving through the parking lot yesterday. There's two lanes as I'm driving past the entrance. There's one lane going one way, one lane going the other way, and it's meant for, cars.
Mm-hmm.
So in one lane, there is a truck that something is being loaded onto, and that's fair because it's a loading area. The person who drove that truck was standing in the middle of the other lane, not interested in moving.
Ah.
Like, we get one to drive on.
Right. Yeah.
So that happened. People just walking aimlessly throughout the parking lot, which is normal, but it just makes people dumb. And then you go to the gas. I don't know if you get gas at Costco. You should. You save, I think, a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I saved it was at least 40 cents, the lowest I've seen it. Either way. So you can go to either side of the pump. And there are two pumps on both sides.
Yes.
And this is the way we do it. And it's like Noah's Ark, people. We're doing it by two.
Right.
Two people, two cars go. Then when those two cars leave, the next two cars behind them, your turn.
Yep.
If you are going to be that person who, look, the car behind the first car decided to leave before that other car was done, I'm just going to pull up here and stop. No!
Wrong.
That's not how it works. Just hold your horses. So, person in front of me in a maroon minivan, I won't give the license plate, but I could.
Maybe you should.
Was impatient. Meanwhile, the person in spot one was actually taking the nozzle out of their car and putting it back into the machine and getting ready to leave. The person in front of me just stopped at the second unit and started to do their thing. Left their door open. I couldn't get around. And I'm just staring a hole in this woman.
Wow.
Without getting out of my car and saying, are you dumb?
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
It's terrible.
Wait. I saved another problem from somebody else later on because I was in spot once that I had to wait for that person to leave. So once that person left, I moved up into spot one, and there was somebody behind me who did the same thing, who left early because it took me longer to fill my tank than them to fill theirs. And the other person behind them was just going to pull up right behind. I'm like, I said, excuse me, sir, if you wait 30 seconds, I'll be done, and then you can pull up into my spot. So the other person behind you can go.
What a concept.
Humanity, people, I'm begging you. Yeah. I am begging you to get this right.
Just think for 2 seconds.
Exactly. The little things in life, man. It's just the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your fellow man.
Exactly.
All right. I am now fully lathered up and into the show.
Hoo-sah.
Let's go. Just not that hard to think about somebody else.
I know.
It just isn't. All right, let's talk about this. We'll start here at 11 o'clock today. I think it was 11 o'clock thereabouts. the Atlantic Coast Conference ditched Greensboro. I'm saying this for effect. We all knew it was going to happen. It is, to me, inconsequential where your favorite conference's headquarters are. Utterly inconsequential. They got nice offices in Charlotte now. We'll read some quotes from Duke president Vincent Price and from the ACC's commissioner Jim Phillips. But it doesn't mean that they don't still love Greensboro. It doesn't mean that Greensboro doesn't matter or hold a place in the hearts and in the business minds of the ACC. They decided that Charlotte is a better location than Greensboro, which is.
Yeah.
That is just flat true.
And I'm from Greensboro.
Right.
I can agree.
Greensboro, closer to where I live and work than Charlotte.
Yes.
Significantly so. I can get to Greensboro from my home in 1 hour. I can't get to Charlotte in an hour.
No.
I can't. But I can get to Greensboro in 1 hour. My son went to school in Greensboro. He was a volunteer at the ACC basketball tournament that stopped. Right? His senior season, he was a volunteer, did work for like a day and a half, and then they shut it all down, but he was there, right? So, personally, selfishly, Greensboro, better.
Right.
But it doesn't matter where it is. And I know it's a joke, but what I suggested that the ACC does is that we just buy a tricked out fly Winnebago, right? Get this enormous RV like the Madden Cruiser.
I'm down.
And you just drive around from school to school. And your headquarters, where did Jim Phillips wake up today?
Right.
Oh, he woke up in Atlanta. Headquarters of the ACC.
Yes.
He woke up. He was in Pittsburgh today. Headquarters of the ACC. It's just a letterhead.
Yeah.
It really isn't anything. Nothing happens at ACC headquarters. Most of the people mostly work remotely.
Yeah. Hey, it might be more exciting like college game day.
It
where
is.
They just travel around. I love it.
This week, headquarters are in Tallahassee.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Here's Vincent Price, the president of Duke University. The board of directors is pleased that the conference headquarters will be joining the Charlotte community and is quite excited about the long-term opportunities that will afford. The board also recognizes and expresses our thanks for what has been a truly wonderful relationship with Greensboro over the last 70 years. We appreciate the support shown by the state of North Carolina to have the league office remain in the state. There were some economic incentives, some kickbacks, if you will, because it's politics. We are grateful to the city of Charlotte. I don't mean it, for it to sound nefarious. They provided some incentives. Better said that way than kickbacks. We are grateful to the city of Charlotte and look forward to a flourishing partnership. Jim Phillips, today is a transformational day for the ACC and for our 15 world-class institutions. I'm sure Notre Dame really cares. We truly appreciate the state of North Carolina for its dedication to keeping the conference headquarters in the state. After a comprehensive, inclusive, and deliberative process, the board decided that Charlotte, an amazing and vibrant community, no problem with that, not only meets but exceeds, the needs of the ACC. Our new home will provide both known and unknown benefits to our student-athletes. We don't need that. I'm just going to stop right there anyway. Look, it's a bigger city.
Yeah.
It's got more to offer. It doesn't have the romance. I get it. But the ACC tournament is going to go back to Greensboro when it's supposed to go back to Greensboro. This has no bearing on future ACC tournaments. Football championship game is in Charlotte and will be in Charlotte until Charlotte falls into the sea. It's a great spot for it. It's got a great stadium. The uptown area. That's very pretentious, by the way.
Yeah.
The uptown area is cool. It's a good spot. Nice hotels, always under construction, which means it's like every other major American city.
Yep.
Always under construction. Look, this was easy. Could be worse. Could be Orlando.
Yeah.
Which was I think, held as a threat more than anything else. I don't believe the league was truly interested in Orlando.
Nah.
Because I don't think anybody is truly interested in Orlando. But I think Orlando was like, oh, look, it's near Disney. Maybe, I think it was used as sort of as a lever.
Absolutely.
To get Charlotte taken care of. All right, so good for the league. You have a home. You have letterhead. Let's just... Here's the thing, though. I know that there are people who are upset about this because Greensboro has been home base since 1953.
Right.
So I understand it. But it doesn't hurt Greensboro other than the however many people who work there. The only real injury to those people or to the area is that those people will either move to Charlotte. So that's bad, right? So for however many people who work in the office, let's say 50, those people will relocate to Charlotte.
Yeah.
So those people have to move, and there's schools and all of that. But this is life. This happens a lot. And if those people went to lunch, we're done.
Yeah.
That's the impact. It has no other impact.
No.
So, and it's good for Charlotte, which is all in the state of North Carolina. So rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to some other matters. The Buffalo Bills are kind of a machine.
Yes, they are.
Kind of a machine. So they have everything. They don't always have tons of stars. I mean, they've got stars. I mean, Josh Allen is a star. We're going to hear from him in a minute. Stephon Diggs is a star. They don't have stars at running backs, but they got good players.
Mm-hmm.
And they have other really good players, other good receivers, other good tight end who just got a long contract. They've got Von Miller. That's a star. They got Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Boogie Basham, former Wake Forest Demon Deacon. They've got good players everywhere. They have a good coach. We'll find out if he's a great coach. He wasn't a great coach last year. He was a good coach last year. But Sean McDermott is on the path to being a great head coach. Brandon Bean, who came from the Charlotte Panthers organization, so did McDermott, by the way. He was the defensive coordinator under Ron Rivera. So Brandon Bean is kind of elite when it comes to the draft. They put up a graphic last night about all of the drafted players that are not only making impact, but are great that Brandon Bean brought into the organization. So they have done a really good job. And they have done a very good job of augmenting their good drafts by bringing in the right free agents. Let's remember, Minnesota dumped Stephon Diggs. Now, I get it. They didn't want to pay Stephon Diggs. I understand? And they drafted Justin Jefferson behind that. We'll talk about Justin Jefferson in a minute because he played last night, too. But they allowed Stephon Diggs, who might be the best receiver in the sport. I'm not saying he is, because I think that changes every few weeks. It seems like, oh, well, that's the best wide receiver in the sport. So there's a collect. He's in the conversation for the best wide receivers in the sport. That's a really good team. I mean, I picked him to win the Super Bowl, but what do I know?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people picked him to win the Super Bowl.
They're so on that's the right track.
Oh, my gosh. They are really, really good. I said this before the season started. I said it after week one. I said it before last night. I don't think Tennessee's very good.
Mm-mm.
We'll hear from them as well in a minute. Ryan Tannehill needs a running game, needs a big go-to wide receiver. The running game needs a big go-to wide receiver, and their big go-to wide receiver is playing big go-to wide receiver snaps for the Philadelphia Eagles. Why they let A.J. Brown go, because they didn't want to pay him. That was a massive mistake by the Tennessee Titans. Robert Woods is good. He's not A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is a huge target who is outstanding. All right, so that's that game from last night. Oh, by the way, final score was like, was it 41-7?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Well, I thought Buffalo was going to go over by themselves. By the way, I got both of the over-unders. I got them both wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Bills-Titans went over by a half point, and Philadelphia realized, oh, we don't have to do anything else here in the second
right.
half.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was 24-7 at halftime, and that's the way it finished. Anyway, Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts are very good. In a way, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are sort of Buffalo Bills light.
They could, yep.
Because they've got some star power. They don't have Josh Allen. But Jalen Hurts is a poor man's Josh Allen. Big, physical runner, good arm, smart player, learning. He's just a couple of years behind where Josh Allen was, maybe. But I think Jalen Hurts is a good enough quarterback to get you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I really do. I think he is good enough to do that. And this is me coming around, just like I came around on Josh Allen, by the way. This is me coming around on Jalen Hurts. I never thought Jalen Hurts was going to be that good. And I still don't know if he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. But he's top half of the league. Easy. And he's smart as hell. And he's a high character kid, man. And that's really good. Philadelphia is very good. I don't know if they're great, but I think they are very good. But they have a lot of similarities to the Bills.
Right.
I mean, name a running back. They've got good running backs, but maybe not a great running back. They have a stud wide receiver in A.J. Brown, but the other options are pretty good.
Yeah.
And they have a very, very, very good defense. And they gave the Minnesota Vikings a hard time yesterday. Speaking of the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, bad, but it's prime time. I don't know if this is Monday Night Football or Monday and Sunday nights. Kirk Cousins is now 2-10 in prime time.
Yikes.
His only two wins came against the Chicago Bears. One during the pandemic season, the other last year, about a year apart. One was like in November of 2020. The other was in December of 2021.
Yikes. Again.
I mean, that's Kirk Cousins, right? So
wearing his dad shirt, like we talked about.
Right. Brightest lights, not really good. All right, a couple of more things, and then we'll, I assume we'll have time, we'll get to some sound, because there's actually a lot of little things to talk about today. The NBA and the NBA Players Association are in the process of negotiating a new collective bargaining agreement. So I believe this one ends in 24. So we don't have a lot of time. They got 2 years to get it done. And I think they will get it done well in advance of that. I don't think this will be a deadline situation, but the new CBA will include is a lowering of the age requirement for draft eligibility. It is currently 19 years old, or maybe it's 1 year after your high school class graduates. I think that's the way it's worded. And I do believe they will get rid of that 19-year age limit, and it will be lowered to 18, which means that you can go directly from high school into the NBA. With that, I'm going to expand on this a little bit later on, why we're here. But here's what will not go away, because I've already seen it written incorrectly. This will do nothing to stem the tide of one-and-done players. Nothing. This just in. Players go after their sophomore year, too.
Shocking.
So, players who go to school for 1 year, who maybe wouldn't be NBA player attractiveness then, right out of high school, will be attractive after 1 year in college. We are still going to have one-and-done players. So if this is your, oh, I hate the one-and-done, we're never going to not have that.
No.
So, it's always been criminal to me the way that those athletes were stigmatized. I saw Seth Davis from The Athletic write that he would eliminate any age limit. Like, what? Mm. Like, no, man.
Yeah.
How about just be an adult? That's enough. Just be an adult.
Right.
Right?
You can vote? Okay, cool.
Right. Exactly.
You can play.
Exactly. Yeah, you can go and play. But that's... So we have that issue to get to, and we'll get into a little bit more in depth later on. Florida State and Louisville. We're going to talk about this with David Teal from the Richmond Times-Dispatch in a little bit. We'll talk about that as well with David Teal because it impacts Duke. Duke had six players in the last 2 years, maybe more in the last three, nine in the last three, leave after 1 year and go to the NBA.
Yeah.
Definitely will impact how Duke recruits because a lot of those players will not be available to Duke because they're going to go right to the NBA. It will also mean that you're going to have a really good recruiting class and then all of a sudden half of it's going to go because you're always going to recruit these players in case they don't go to the NBA. Anyway, FSU and Louisville played last Friday. 2.75 million people watched it.
Wow.
2.75. Not only that, it was the number one original program on primetime Friday night for viewers under the age of 50 on either broadcast or cable television. The number one program was Florida State at Louisville, which was a good game. It was not a great game, but it was a football game that was close. And my present company included, sometimes we can't recognize what's good and what's close. Live sports is undefeated. And I've been saying this for a long time. For a league like the ACC that is looking for ways to separate itself from other conferences, literally I've been saying this for 10 years. Friday night football, every Friday night. 10 times a year, ACC, Friday night football, put it on TV, good matchups, and ESPN will go, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Yes. And once that happens, you'll see other conferences do it too. But if the Big Ten is so hell-bent on staying on Saturdays, because I think that is your competition for Friday nights, the Big Ten, not the SEC, which stands on its own. And with ESPN owning both the ACC and the SEC, they are loath to compete with themselves. Get to it. You moved to Charlotte. Now let's go play Friday night football. I apologize to the high schools in advance. You'll deal.
Yeah.
All right, real quick about Matt Rhule. And then we'll break. So as soon as Nebraska fired Scott Frost after 3 weeks of the season, Matt Rhule's name came up in connection with the Nebraska job. It's a high-profile job 25 years ago. It's not a high-profile job anymore, other than you have a huge stadium and fans want to win. And the Big Ten has a ton of money. I don't think that's a place that's ever going to win consistently ever again. Arizona State, on the other hand, if I were Matt Rhule, I would be looking for property in Tempe. Because that is, first of all, major university.
Yes.
With football pedigree. And with Southern Cal leaving the Pac-12, it's either going to be Arizona State, if they hire the right person, or Oregon, or Washington maybe, that becomes the program in that league. I am banking on the right hire, maybe that's not Matt Rhule, I'm just saying, I'm banking on the right hire making Arizona State the crown jewel of that league. That's what I believe will happen. It's a really, really good opportunity for the right coach. So if I were Matt Rhule, I would be looking at property in Tempe.
Please do.
Stay away from Glendale. Scottsdale's very nice.
He already speaks the college lingo, so I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
Stay away from Glendale. Always honored to be joined by the one and only David Teal, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Mr. Sourced Up, nobody more plugged in than David Teal. He probably knew that the league was moving to Charlotte before Charlotte was incorporated as a city. And he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Mr. Teal, how are you?
Good morning. Good afternoon. Wow. It's been a long morning.
It has been. Look, we knew this was coming. I don't know why it caught me by surprise, just because it just showed up in my inbox. And there we go. We're headed to Charlotte. I'll just ask the question, and then we can discuss it real quick. What's the significance of the ACC's headquarters leaving Greensboro and being moved to Charlotte?
I think it's two-pronged, Adam. I think for Greensboro, it's largely symbolic. It's a source of civic pride there, immeasurable pride. The conference has been it was founded there in May of 53 at Sedgefield Country Club, has been there ever since. And to lose it, it's not really an economic blow. We're talking about 50 employees. But it's just the symbolism of it.
Right.
And the ACC tournament is not going to go away from Greensboro forever. Going to continue to go there on a rotational basis, just like it has been. But then for Charlotte and for the ACC staff and for the ACC member schools, Charlotte makes all the sense in the world. You have your football championship game there every season. Your football kickoff there, mm-hmm. where bowl partners and corporate sponsors and AD, they come each year. Charlotte is accessible. So you have more home games for the ACC staff. I think that's a part of this. And it's got a larger corporate presence. And the ACC wants to pursue corporate sponsorships. It makes sense from all those angles.
ESPN has studios there. Now, we do have studios on every campus pretty much now, but ESPN has studios in Charlotte.
Yes, and obviously Charlotte's airport is a hub.
Mm.
Greensboro's is not. And Nancy Vaughn, the Greensboro mayor, told me this morning, we knew that was a problem, and we offered them private jet service, but it wasn't enough.
The ACC should have had their own. Greensboro should have their own private jet service. That would be amazing. David Teal, Richmond Times-Dispatch, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I've been saying this for months, if not years, that it's romantic. It's romance, the Greensboro tie here. There are so many people who believe that as long as Greensboro was still HQ, then the tournament would never leave on a regular basis. And I'm like, no, they've already shown you that they're going to leave on a regular basis. We're already going to D.C. and Brooklyn and Charlotte. So my feeling has always been that Greensboro, while a wonderful building, and they run the tournament better than anybody probably, and I don't even know that that's close, is always going to be used for, like, anniversary tournaments and round numbers, but ultimately it's not a basketball tournament anymore. It's a place and a way to entertain clients and grow business. And you need more than Greensboro has to offer than Charlotte, and I still think that Washington, D.C. is the best place for it. And I would support a permanent home at the, whatever it's called, the Verizon Center.
Adam, I think D.C. is a great location, and your point is very well taken about the tournament being an entertainment venue, because as an ACC fundraiser said to me before the tournament first went to New York, and we were talking about the prospect of attendance and it being down, and he said to me, it's not important how many people attend. It's who attends.
Right. It's true. It's all true. David Teal, Richmond Times-Dispatch, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. We spent 5 minutes talking about something that I don't really believe is that big of an issue. I do think that the league, and I said this to Jim Phillips at ACC football kickoff, he appreciated the humor, but I'm sort of serious. I mean, we didn't need an HQ. Could have just put Jim and staff in a Winnebago, like a Madden cruiser, and wherever he wakes up, that's HQ. Sometimes it would be Blacksburg, Virginia. And sometimes it would be Charlottesville, Virginia. So let's talk a little bit. Let me just get your thoughts real quick on the potential for the age limit to go down to 18 in the NBA draft. It's probably going to impact Duke more than any other school, I think, in the country, based on the way that John Shire has continued to recruit. Your thoughts on that before we move on to actual football?
I'm really curious to see how prospects will view this, Adam, in the NIL age, and whether the enticement of name, image, and likeness compensation for a college athlete might lead them to still do a year or two in residence collegiately before moving on to the NBA. I don't know the answer. But I'm fascinated to watch it all unfold. As far as whether the NBA should do this, I think the answer is clear. Absolutely, it should. I mean, the one and done seems silly to me all along. The young men in question should be able to pursue their livelihood as they see fit when they see fit.
Yeah, and one and done's not going away because the players who go to school for 1 year and have great years are going, whether they were as good as the guys who ultimately didn't go to college, it doesn't matter. They're still going to go. They're still going to end up, spending just 1 year in college. All right, look, we have some time. Let's talk football, shall we?
Sure.
I actually think I'm normally pessimistic about the way the ACC has started the season, but I'm not this year. I'm not even discouraged by Miami losing at Texas A&M. Because I think that game, Miami just wasn't equipped, I think, in terms of personnel, really, to win that game. They had chances, but they're not good enough offensively to really dent Texas A&M. But I actually think the league's gotten off to a pretty good start. What do you think?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, the league has already won, Adam, 6 games versus its Power 5 peers. The record right now is 6-5. Last year, the record was 8-18. So, I'm not a math major, but that's a far sight better than a year ago. And I think one of the essential victories happened last Saturday night at Carter Finley.
Yes. Yeah, it did. I'm a little disappointed. Maybe I'm grading. I am grading on a reverse curve for NC State. They are. Yeah, they are 3-0, but could have lost to East Carolina. I have not been impressed at all with their offense. What happens this week in their glorified scrimmage against UConn, I don't care. I don't know that their offense is good enough to win at Clemson now.
Yeah. Is Clemson good enough to win at Wake Forest on Saturday?
That's a very good point. I actually, even though it was just Louisiana Tech, they looked a little bit different to me because I've seen them against competition that they should have destroyed, and DJ Uiagalelei has not been good. I thought he was pretty good in the win over Louisiana Tech. If they get growth out of the quarterback position, I think Clemson cycles right back to the top of the schools chasing the top three to get into that number four spot. If they do that, because I think their defense is spectacular.
Their defense is spectacular, and I think we'll continue to be. And our hearts go out to Brian Brazee and on the loss of his teenage sister to cancer. And the sooner that young man, whenever he feels he's ready to return to football, obviously that will benefit that defense as well. But, yeah, I think Clemson is absolutely playoff caliber.
Who's the second best team in the league right now, David?
Well, we do a weekly power poll among the papers in our chain, Adam. And I've been resolute all along. I've stuck with my preseason pick of NC State at number two. You know, the escape in Greenville aside. I'm just Florida State. You know, if you look just at who you've beaten, where you've beaten them, the fact that Florida State went to New Orleans and beat LSU and then went to Louisville and beat the Cardinals there, I think you can make the case for the Noles.
So the top three teams in the league maybe all on one side of the bracket again. This is why we had to get out of divisions. It had become lopsided.
And add Wake Forest.
Yeah. I know.
The top four might be in the Atlantic.
The Wake people cannot fathom why I might believe that State is better than Wake. Because the response is, well, what's changed from last year? I'm like, the year? And that matters? We can't just ignore it. Things are not static. Let me ask you one more thing, because the Florida State Florida State Louisville game on ESPN Friday night drew 2.75 million viewers, and it was mm-hmm. the number one watched program on broadcast or cable television in the demographic under 50 years old. What's stopping the ACC from going to ESPN and saying, we will give you a high-profile Friday night game every Friday for like 10 straight weeks? Why can't they do that?
They certainly can if they don't mind torquing off a bunch of high school coaches.
Right.
Who don't appreciate the competition. But, yeah, Friday night, you know, Thursday night used to work, not anymore because of the NFL. And now it's Friday night.
I mean, I understand the high school angle here, but I think that maybe it's because I am not, like, knee-deep in high school football.
Right.
I think that's such a easily refuted argument. So North Carolina or NC State or Virginia Tech – because these are the two states that, and I guess Clemson too, where high school football is a Friday night thing. Where I grew up in New Jersey, high school football was a Saturday, Saturday yep. at 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning thing. It was a Saturday thing. So I just think there's so little in, if you're going to go to the high school football game, you're going to go to the high school football game anyway. So I just don't think it'll hurt attendance. I don't think it'll impact recruiting. We used to not play high school basketball on Tuesdays, right? In the state of North Carolina, they used to avoid Tuesdays because, well, that's high school basketball night. Now we don't care. We stop caring because it's money. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm on one today, David. I spent the first 5 minutes of the show ripping the people in the Costco parking lot.
Oh.
Yeah. Stay away. Be careful. Just make sure you have provisions next time you go to a Costco and drive through the parking lot. I don't know why I brought you into that. At by David Teal, Richmond Times-Dispatch. I thank you very much for your time. It was fun.
That was good, Adam. Anytime.
You got it, David Teal. You're on the Adam Gold Show.
It's stuff just sticks with you. It's the little things. A compliment can stick with you all day, just like someone rude at the gas station.
My very good friend, John Forslund, now the voice of the Seattle Kraken, likes to use this phrase in a hockey game when somebody comes out and, like, they're flying all over the place. He's got a bee in his bonnet.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's me today. I feel like today I have the bee in my bonnet. I'm ready to go. I am absolutely ready to go. The NBA and the Players Association hammering out a new CBA that will probably get done, my guess is, I don't know, I think maybe even before Christmas and well in advance of the expiration of this one, in which the draft will soon, the NBA player draft, will soon include players straight out of high school. They are going to remove the age limit that requires high school graduates to go to 1 year of college or spend some year somewhere else. Remember, they created that G League elite team. And there are other places to go play before you get to the NBA. Some players were going overseas and playing, Australia, wherever, staying in an academy for an additional year. Or just going to the G League, because there's no requirement to simply play in the G League. And the NBA is in this position of lowering the age limit. Remember, the NBA put it in. The NBA is in this position because of the way one-year college players were treated by fans, indirectly, by the media, who didn't know better, and by the college establishment that used, air quotes, one-and-done players as the easy blaming point for whatever else was going wrong. And I've been saying this since this started. Why are we blaming them? These are the players who we want to watch. Why are we making it? Why are we embarrassing them when these are the reasons? These players are the reasons we watch college basketball. If you think that we are here to watch the good old four-year college guy, you're nuts, because that's not what sells. Talent sells. You know, the number one viewing college basketball season in the last 50 years, pretty much. It's less than 50. Last 40, the Zion Williamson year.
Yeah.
We all knew Zion was leaving, but man, we couldn't get enough. And it's because of the way these people were discussed and treated that the NBA, Adam Silver, remember David Stern, his predecessor, he's the guy that put the rule in there. Adam Silver went, well, it's clear that the college game doesn't want these players. He said that out loud. Because it was true. The college game made it clear that they didn't want these players. So the NBA will get them. Is it the best place for them? No. It's not even the best place for the NBA to get these players. They don't want to recruit high schools, but they're going to have to. But they're going to have to. There's also high school basketball, and prep basketball has become something that we can all watch on television if we want. You can find the games. But this is a creation of our own if you are a college basketball fan. This is our mess that the NBA is coming in to clean up, reluctantly or otherwise. But that's the reason why the age limit is going away. And maybe you don't care, and that's fine, but one and done's not going away. We will still have players spend 1 year in college and then go to the NBA. They will just be different, for the most part, from the players who did it before.
This is the Adam Gold Show.